Hi, welcome to the Parasocial Social Club.
I'm Jewel Kernan.
I'm Charlie James.
We're your hosts.
And you are tuning into a podcast where we investigate the spectacular world-bending power of parasocial relationships.
We dive into the unsightly depths of our own parasocial relationships, and we interview the people we all have parasocial relationships with.
Today, our guest of honor is Smosh icon, producer, and actor Garrett Palm.
Not sure how to say palm with a vaguely British accent.
We chat historically about the inventor of LiveJournal. Mind-blowing segment, you guys. Arguing with fans on Twitter.
And loving your partner as a bit. Not for real.
Welcome to the Parasocial Social Club.
I love a little cheeky playing around with the form. We haven't done accents yet.
We have been getting so close to doing accents so many times and then just backing out sheepishly.
It slips through our fingers.
Well, we finally committed.
I'm working on getting better at accents.
Oh, yeah, which
one? Because I'm famously bad. Well, I was watching some YouTube videos about Irish accents, and they said that the IR sound becomes OIR.
Wait.
So, like, yeah, uh-huh. Like that. Anyways, more research to be done, obviously. But that's just a little something for you.
I used to be able to like confidently do what I felt was a fine British accent, and then I had to learn an Irish accent for a role, and now I can only do an Irish accent. And I can't do
You've
the
lost
British
your British.
Accent.
Yeah. They're too adjacent, confusing. But they're not.
I would never confuse them.
Mm-mm.
I would never do it.
That would offend the Irish. You being the Irish.
So, let's see. What's going on parasocially today, my friend?
Well, should I go?
Do you?
Should you go?
Do you?
I'll do mine because I think mine's less interesting.
Oh, excellent judgment.
A great start. And just fast forward if you hate this. Okay. You, and when I say you, I do, of course, mean you, Jewel, and Garrett from Garrett's Corner. You remember that fateful night when I said, hey, guys, I got a perfume in the mail that smells not right, and will one of you take it off my hands?
I do remember.
And you didn't want it?
No.
Yeah. It was a strong one. It was a sample that they threw in for free. So I didn't select it. But it was clearly a perfume, wouldn't you say? For maybe girls who were also women?
Yes, it smelled and looked like a perfume should smell and look.
Interesting. So I want to talk to you guys about where I got my scent recommendations. There is a TikToker, derogatory, who lives in Los Angeles and is named Scout Dixon West, who is a fragrance influencer online, very recently canceled.
Ooh.
And we'll get into that in a second. Before I was kind of privy to the cancellation, I would say about a month ago, I, in the comments, was like, this Scout gal seems level-headed enough. Hey, I have not been a man for that long, and I want a kind of masculine scent that says outdoorsy trees and does not smell like a teenager with Axe body spray. Can you accomplish this? And she gave me two recommendations, one of which I hated and the other I bought.
Smelled good. I liked it.
Thank you.
Yes.
So pretty good, you know, turnout, all things considered. In the past week, someone has found her secret Twitter, not associated with the Scout Dixon West name, where she has tweeted some pretty racist stuff. Some pretty racist stuff. She also tweeted, I think, what is being read as homophobic, but I'm just going to go ahead and say, I think it's like cheeky homophobia the way other queer people do homophobia.
Right.
She
okay.
is, she is LGBT. So I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
You can say the slurs that belong to you, that's fine. But the racism, not on my watch. Mm-mm. So she was big time canceled. And what I've noticed, it's interesting. She just had her own line of perfume come out.
With like her own brand or like as a collab?
Her own branding.
Got it.
That just came out.
Hmm.
And so already people in the comments are like, I'm throwing this away. I'm never buying XYZ again.
Oh, no.
What I've noticed that's interesting is that people seem, because this is all happening in tandem with the election, if you guys are just tuning in, Donald Trump was reelected to the office of president. And you know, we're not happy. But most people on TikTok, the way they talk about it, they seem to be more upset that she is a Trump supporter than racist. And that is very confusing to me. I don't love, you know, the concept of a Trump supporter, but
that's
to me, racism is the bigger sin.
That's always going to be...
Yeah.
Racism is always going to be the wrong thing to do, and hopefully Trump will not be our president in 5 more years.
God willing, democracy will continue, despite what Kamala Harris has texted me.
Begging for more money. But wait, but I think, tell me this, because mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people just say, like, oh, that MAGA person.
As a catch-all.
Yeah, as like a shorthand for like that person's racist or a bigot. And they're kind of like using the cultural zeitgeist mm-hmm. of where Trump is on the mind, so I'm calling them a MAGA.
The way people know that she likes Trump is there was some Instagram post that was like, tomorrow, you know, after the election, ushers in a new era where like bad media will be banished and also will bring sanity back to the United States. And she liked a bunch of similar stuff. And so people were like, oh, this is what we're upset about.
Yeah.
To me, I really don't care about how the voting happened. I think a lot of like maybe well-intentioned, economically unsound people.
This is so generous of you.
I'm just sad. Like, I really do. I don't think, whatever. Like, do you know how many people of color voted for Trump? They're not racist. They want to be able to live here. Already digging myself a hole. I'm just saying. To me, the egregious thing is the racism that she did over years on Twitter.
Yeah.
And recent, too.
Yeah.
These are not from a long time ago. I think a lot of people come on and they try to be like, I was, you know, I was only 25 when I said the N-word.
Right.
So I'm different now that I'm 29. This is not that. This is relevant. Anyways, now I'm stuck with all the sense that she recommended to me, and it got me thinking, because people were like, she's a bigot, you know, she hates gay people, she's racist, and a lot of people said she was homophobic, because I don't think they knew that she was queer. And it got me wondering if she had recommended to me a cologne or a perfume, because I had said in my message, I'm transgender, and I was like, you know, some of these things that I received in my package were a little feminine.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I was mistaken.
Uh-huh.
And I just got slighted in the most hilarious, subtle way possible. I checked. They're colognes. So no transphobia detected. Not a fan of the racism, but, you know.
Let's just make sure we're canceling people for the right
reasons. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Charlie, that is so funny that you were like, and where do I fit into this whole cancellation?
Of course I was. I have a similar thing to say. The same thing in my eyes happened with Armie Hammer, which is everyone went, oh my God, all those texts where he goes, I want to eat you. I'm like a cannibal. I eat people. I love eating people. I jerk off to the thought of eating people. And what they didn't do was watch the documentary where they talk about how he was fully like holding women hostage and sexually assaulting them.
Oh my God.
I know.
I didn't watch story. That.
That's what I'm saying.
I didn't know this.
This is what I'm saying. The story is Armie Hammer cannibal.
Yeah.
And it should be Armie Hammer rapist.
Wow.
I know.
What an incredible.
And this is
PR.
The same thing. I go, it's not Scout Dixon West, Trump supporter. It's Scout Dixon West, racist.
Right.
Kind to one transgender individual.
But in the end, not kind, because now are you going to be able to wear that cologne in good
no,
faith?
No, it's going to make me feel weird. In fairness, it's not her brand. Like, she didn't make any money from the recommendation.
Oh.
But when I put it on, do I think about her?
I think about her. I think about her when I smell it now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That sucks.
Yeah.
She really, she really shouldn't.
Hard to say what's going on there. And you know what I love? It just shows someone can be many things. You can be gay and racist.
That is so true.
And you can be, you can be gay and you can be racist. It happens more often than you think.
You're right.
Yeah.
Probably more often than white people think, I guess, is really
yeah,
the truth.
Is actually, yeah. Some people have been privy for a while.
Some people have known.
Yeah. Anyways, how are you?
I'm doing amazing. I did not have my perfume influencer get canceled this week.
Oh, who's yours? Jeremy Fragrance?
Uncancelable
because he's too crazy.
Actually, he is canceled because there people have DMs of screenshots of
yes.
him DMing like children girls.
Children girls?
You know, like teenagers.
No.
Yeah. So yeah, actually Jeremy Fragrance is canceled and
wow.
I also think he was hilarious.
Two down.
So they're going down. Just
he was
be,
so
wary.
Funny.
Be wary.
I thought he was uncancelable because of how insane he was. Like he would be like, there's an application to date me and you must be a good Christian who's hot and sexy and makes me hard. And you're like, Jesus Christ, dude. What? But yeah. I didn't know it could get worse.
There is pedophilia. Always a, I mean, and I can't, let's, I mean, I don't, he's a public figure, so we can say whatever we want about him. I don't really remember what the screenshots were, but, there is always a line that doesn't matter how fucking crazy you are, you can still get elected to be the president.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I worry that I've sounded like I think voting for Trump is not bad.
You were a little apologetic.
Well, I kind of am. Like, I do. I think that there are a lot of people who are uninformed. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have so many friends whose family fall into that category.
Sure. I mean, I will say, I think marketing and brainwashing is extremely powerful, but I also think fucking get fucking over it and
read a book
and
get
like,
it together.
Join society. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Join society.
Join society and stop being susceptible to.
And if you haven't voted, go ahead and do it now because we're
still
counting. What's happening to you and yours?
Last night, I went to a concert at the Palladium in Hollywood.
Love.
I saw a rock and roll band named Rainbow Kitten Surprise. And this is something I have been waiting to talk about on the pod for a long, 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 long time. Because they have band drama.
I love a band with drama.
So strap in, because I'm about to tell you guys a sordid tale.
There's a specific type of band drama.
What
here.
Kind?
Transgender band drama, which is my favorite kind of band drama. Go on.
So, yes, overall there are transgender people in this band. And,
and that makes it a transgender band.
And but the drama actually is not really related to that.
No.
Part. Okay, so let's begin. This is a band that's been around for like I think a decade. They have an extremely, extremely parasocial fandom, like because people really like grew up with them and watched them become famous, and they, you know, had a viral hit on TikTok a few years ago, which so more people found out about them. And people are really like heart soul bonded to
totally
the individual members of this band.
They've got some songs that make me cry because they talk about Chicago.
Goodnight Chicago.
That'll get me.
Iconic song. So beautiful. And I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I will also cry. Okay. So they, lead singer of the band, her name is Ella. Okay. So there's two main characters in this drama story. I'm going to introduce them to you. The lead singer, Ella, and Charlie.
Me.
Charlie James.
Me. It's me.
So Charlie's the bassist. So these are the two sort of like charismatic, like front facing people in all of the their little band interviews. Like those are the people who we're like really parasocially attaching to. And so a few really quick, I'm gonna speed through this timeline. They canceled prior to the show I saw last night, they canceled their last two tours.
Mm.
And they announced that they were taking a break about within the last year. And so that was two rounds of fans being disappointed by having bought tickets for tours and then getting them canceled, and an announcement that they were taking a break. And so there's a lot of a disruption in the fandom and a lot of speculation about what's going on. And for the tour cancellations, for at least one of them, they cited like one of our band members is having a mental health crisis. Mm. We simply cannot tour. Which, if you put this in the larger context of the earth, the first cancellation, I believe, I'm not sure if I have the timeline right, but was within the wave of every single musician canceling all their tours, not because of COVID, but because of the world after COVID was so unsustainable to touring. There was like 2021, 2022, people were planning whole tours and then canceling them like left and right. Whew. So that's was that. But then it happened again. Mm-hmm. Then it happened again. And we went, what's going on?
More of that.
What's going on with the band? So then, a few months ago in March, the fans, the parasocial fans, they're crawling around the internet, and the RKS marketing machine, Remote Kitten Surprise marketing machine, is starting to drop little hints that something is coming.
Oh no, something's good.
Something is coming. A new album is coming. Everyone's like, wow, the break is over. A new album is coming.
Oh no.
And then something wild happens. And for the first time in this podcast, I think I need to make a fandom disclaimer because I am a little scared of this fandom.
Fandom disclaimer.
I need to make...
Be gentle with us.
I need to do what people do on TikToks, which annoys me because it takes up time, which is say, these are my opinions. I don't have all the facts. Please don't come for my ass in the comments.
Be gentle to us.
I probably will say inaccurate things. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I'm so sorry. Whatever you're mad about, I am sorry.
It's good to do your apology tour before your cancellation.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's huge.
So, okay. So, they're dropping a new album. People are like, I think they're coming back. I think something's going to happen. They're dropping a new album. And then... I don't remember the exact timeline, but I believe they dropped snippets of their new single and everyone was like, wow, new music. And then, within a very short span of time, they posted an Instagram post. They posted an Instagram post about the bassist, Charlie.
Me.
Me. Being asked to leave the band.
See, I saw this when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a shocker because I didn't know I was in the band and I was pretty upset.
So this was a very upsetting thing. And the way that they did it was absolutely, it was delicious from a marketing perspective. Because.
Is it still on their Instagram?
Absolutely it is.
Weird. Absolutely. They kept it up.
It is because it's part of the canon, and I'll get to that with regards to the concert last night.
Oh, God.
So, I'm not going to read the whole post, but I need to point out. Okay, so we took our hate. I'm going to summarize a little bit. This is a text post on Instagram. This is them announcing the change up.
69,000 likes. Nice. Go on.
So, We took the time to address some ongoing issues in the band. We contemplated our future. We're excited to announce our return. Quote, on a heavier note, we must announce the departure of our dear friend, Charlie Holt. After a concerted effort to move forward together, Ella could not find a way to continue working with them, and the band seriously contemplated calling it quits. Charlie is one of a kind and will always be part of our legacy. They can't be replaced in anyone's hearts or minds. And then they say some more stuff about the new album, and then they write everyone's name, Bozzy, Ella, Ethan, and Jess at
except
the end.
Except for Charlie.
Except for Charlie. And then you swipe to the next slide on this Instagram post, and it's a Charlie note.
Oh.
Dear RKS family, thank you. I'm so grateful to every one of you. The family's imprint will last lifetimes. It feels impossible to put words to this, but I've been asked to leave the group. This is not the end of me making music, but I'm accepting that this beautiful season has passed. Heart, Charlie Holt. And then there's great Laura Jane Grace quote, which is such a power move. That is such a power move.
Don't let this feeling ever go away. Let this memory forever be inside of me. Through every hour of every day, it's with the company of these friends that we drove on through the night. We were carried by the wheels of Armageddon.
So
that quote sucks. Sorry. That didn't do it for me. It'd be like, me and my friends drive my car. We drive on the road. It's fun. We have our memories. We all go to Valhalla and we all have fun.
Great.
Sorry to be a hater of the quote choice.
That's what stands out to me.
It did. It was a weird, weird pick.
So, so that was insane because everyone was like, why did they spell it out in that specific way instead of just doing a generic PR statement of, oh, Charlie's parting ways with the band.
Right. They go, we asked him to leave.
We asked them to leave. And not only did we ask them to leave, it's because Ella wants them out of the band.
Ella specifically.
Yes. Yes. It says Ella could not find a way to continue working. That's what it says. So this is absolutely absurdiest. And then there was some other fun drama where supposedly, I think this is true, but there were screenshots of Charlie's mom posting to Facebook groups and like defending Charlie and being like, you guys, we're going to miss you guys. Like Charlie just couldn't work. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so that all happened. It's wild. Then they released this new album and the album is very different from their old album. So there's a huge, there's so much, you know, like fan discourse of like, what's going on? Is the band good anymore? Blah, 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 blah. And it's important because Charlie and Ella, like, you know, they did have an onstage presence and like a relationship dynamic that was interesting. Which brings me to last night. I'm standing 10 feet away from the Ella we're discussing, but no Charlie, because Charlie was asked to leave the band. And I'm watching the show and you can't help but think about it because it was such big drama. And also the music is different now. So it's like there's constant reminders of this weird drama that happened a few months ago. And I'm like, well, what are they going to do about it? And then Ella in her stage banter is like, I'm not going to talk about the fight. I'm not going to talk about the fight. I'm not going to talk about the fight. They don't want me to talk about the fight. And so that happens. She doesn't talk about the fight. She doesn't talk about the fight. And then the concert continues. And to me, I find this very yummy and delightful. I think I love that you said you're not going to talk about the fight.
That is absolutely talking about it.
I love that you just talked about the fight. Because this was March. This happened in March. And it is now November.
That's a long time.
To still be wanting to talk about the fight?
Yeah.
It's a long time to still be. So, okay, so that happens, and I'm like, that was fun. I loved that. Juicy drama. And then that makes me go, so I'm going through my little parasocial narrative in my head, and that makes me go, you know, I kind of was giving the benefit of the doubt of, like, how much of their music, which is very, like, diary-style lyrics,
yeah,
you know, talking about relationships and toxic relationships and things, how much of their lyrics, like, maybe is about Charlie and Ella's relationship. I kind of don't. Wasn't giving that much, but then as soon as Ella said, I'm not going to talk about the fight, I was like, every single song is about Charlie.
Every song is about that.
Every lyric is about, which clearly is impossible, but in my brain, every single song. But then concert goes on, concert goes on, concert goes on. We don't talk about the fight. Then Ella just does it again towards the end of the concert.
She goes, I'm not going to talk about it?
Yeah. And I was like,
people asking?
That's what I
mean.
Was
everyone raising their hands and going, please, please, miss.
So it really like conjures up this image of like, if you're not going to give us a morsel, but you're going to mention it twice, like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Like, it makes it that much more like tempting to speculate on, I guess.
Completely.
And anyways, it was a great show. And it did make me want to go back through every single concert footage video that anyone has posted from this year and see if she said anything else.
Ever talks about it. You got to get on Reddit.
The problem with the RKS fans on Reddit is they are not snarking.
Oh, they're like...
They're being
that's
nice.
That's scary. They're you got to nice. Have snark.
The snark is all on TikTok and... It's hard to find because TikTok is difficult to search. And it's also like, you know, I need high level snark.
Yeah. I need
some receipts.
Fucking scholars.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So it was a big night for me parasocially. I had a lot to think about. I was mentally taking notes in my head the whole time. I'm also you to dancing and singing and having a fun time and trying not to knock into the
I'm doing 13 things at once. I am taking notes. I am dancing. I am being safe.
I am working hard for you guys is what I'm saying. It's my night off.
For you.
And I'm doing what I have to do.
I hope they talk about it one day. Or I hope, this is what I hope, Charlie puts out an album
yes.
that is exclusively about this. No other shit in there at all. It's interesting to me that a lead singer and a bassist, the lead singer bassist relationship is always fascinating.
Excellent dynamic.
Yeah.
Wonderful dynamic. It's okay. And then one more thing about this, which is why this is about me. The perfume cancellation was about you.
Uh-huh.
And the RKS
yes.
band breakup is about me. I wrote a movie script that is about this exact thing that happens. That a band is like in this era of fame. And then the lead singer in my script, not in real life, in my script is toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And they break up with the guitarist who, and then they have to tour after that. It's literally, I literally wrote this. So they copied me.
You should predict a better future.
Yeah, I need to write the sequel where Charlie writes that revenge album.
You do. You need to be like, they all get sober and they all hold hands.
Exactly. And that's another thing that I pay attention to when I go to concerts is like Ella wasn't drinking on stage. You know, she could still be like, you know, under the influence. I don't know what her status is with that stuff, but I always notice like, is the lead singer drinking water or are they drinking beer? Blah, blah, blah. Because I'm interested in these things because I need to create little narratives about them in my head.
Incredible.
For my podcast. And yeah, it was an amazing night. I had a good time.
Let us know, Charlie, about that album. A lot of people named Charlie lately, and I'm not actually loving that.
Oh, no more, no more.
XCX, this one, me.
No more Charlies in the room.
I'm over it.
you're very
stop
popular.
Making them. We're done.
Today, we have such a good guest.
This is the best.
I'm so excited for you guys to hear this interview. It's really funny, and Garrett Palm is...
a treat and a treasure.
An internet icon.
Yeah.
So, enjoy.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hello. I am extraordinarily excited to introduce our guest for this episode of the Parasocial Social Club, Garrett Palm.
Hi.
Garrett Palm. Is a super talented producer, director, actor, known for his work as a host and showrunner of the hit show Eat It or Yeet It, which ran on 5 years, which ran for 5 years on Smosh on YouTube. Garrett has produced and directed tons of Smosh content that totals millions and millions of views. And he just so happens to have produced international show runs for Baby Wants Candy, which is one of my favorite improv teams. Garrett also ran the writer's room as lead writer for Tabletop News, which is one of my favorite tabletop news networks.
Why?
Because you were on it?
I don't recall. And
one of your favorites.
Yes.
Yeah. And Garrett also co-hosts Agents of Travel, which is one of my favorite travel podcasts.
Why? Because you were on it?
Hey,
it was... It's my favorite travel podcast.
Okay, you'll be on it. We'll, yes. We'll have you on it.
Yes, we did it.
Garrett, you are a parasocial icon. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. No, thank you for calling me a parasocial icon, but thank you for having me.
Well, you are.
It doesn't get any better hearing it again.
So thank you so much for coming on.
Yes.
You have had such an interesting creative career. You do lots of different things. You're an actor, performer, but you've also been behind the scenes producing, directing, writing, and a lot of people know you from Smosh videos. So can we talk a little bit just to initiate the uninitiated? Tell us about Eat It or Yeet It, please.
Eat It or Yeet It was a show where, five people would sit at a table. One by one, a dish would come out. Every person has to eat one dish. There's a bell in the middle, usually. If somebody thinks the dish in the middle was good, they ding the bell and they have to eat that dish.
Great.
And my goal is to try to get, everybody's got to eat. Somebody's going to eat a bad dish, but my goal is to like make the, just get in their heads. Like at the start it was, make a bad dish look good and make a good dish look bad. But then, you start double, triple, quadruple faking and.
Right.
But yeah, that's the whole premise of the show is that people have to eat food and I'm trying to get them to eat bad food.
and you truly delight in it.
Oh yeah, I do. And that was genuine. That was, yeah. Yeah, that was, I don't know why. I don't know why I loved it so. Loved watching people eat. Because I love reactions. I love people reacting to things. I don't watch react channels, but I understand totally. A little bit of why people would watch react channels, and like because like a good genuine reaction is like a good emotional reaction, like with improv too, it's like if nobody's up there reacting to anything that's going on, it's boring.
It's kind of like the basis of all entertainment media.
Yeah, yeah.
New information and reacting to it.
And yes. Being like, and yeah. I relate to what that person's feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like them. Yeah.
But
also,
yeah,
so food is so visceral.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, ugh, I've had some reactions to food lately.
Yeah.
And
same.
So, wait, what happened?
Oh, I mean, just like the dishes that I would make, I would try them and just be like, it hits you. Or like other times, like traveling and like, I travel a lot and there's like food that I'm not used to. And, the first time you have something, like everybody has strong flavors that they, well, not everybody, but like most people have a strong flavor that they like and they're used to, they grew up with, and then when other people try it, it's like, whoa, this is, and then like it can be fun to get used to that flavor that is like predominant in another culture or something.
I feel like the most famous thing of that is the one from New Zealand,
Marmite.
Yeah
Australian, oh, New Zealand, yeah. Vegemite, Marmite,
yeah,
yeah.
Marmite couldn't, or Vegemite, I think I've only had, couldn't get there.
Really?
I couldn't get there. I do think I understand intellectually what's good about it. I cannot.
Well, how did you try it? 'Cause
on toast.
With butter, like a thin.
Yes.
So butter, a lot of butter, a thin bit of Marmite or Vegemite.
I kind of went the opposite.
Okay.
Thin,
you got to do
a lot of Vegemite.
You got to do a thin amount, like just a
barely.
Thin spread. Yeah. Because then okay. It just adds a little savoriness.
Yeah.
And isn't like about
so salty.
Yeah. Very salty.
Wasn't ready for that.
Garrett, yeah. Save it for your recommendation at the end of the episode.
Oh, no, I forgot to think about my recommendations.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah,
you have a few minutes to think
about it. Okay.
Okay, so Eat It or Eat It was a true smash. And and I also want to talk a little bit about Smosh, just to explain what that is, if people aren't familiar. My rudimentary understanding is Smosh, big YouTube channel, mm-hmm. had a big change of ownership, mm-hmm. had a revival, kind mm-hmm. of, has a big, huge fandom.
Yes, very parasocial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what are your, what do you think? Agree?
Yeah, no, I agree. No notes. Yeah, spot on.
Yep. Great.
Yeah. And how did you get involved with Smosh initially?
When I first moved out to LA, I moved from New York. I left New York, went home to Portland for a bit, and then came down here to LA. And an old roommate from New York was working at this place, Defy Media, which owns Smosh. And he put my name in for all the places that Defy owned to PA. And like, I'd been producing for Baby Wants Candy. I was like lead producer for stage, but I was like, well, I've got to start from square one.
Right.
And so I was PA'ing, I PA'd at College Humor, Funny or Die, like all the, and Smosh stuck. I PA'd for them for a little bit. They kind of bumped me up to associate producer, and then they had a job that nobody there wanted to do, but they needed the money that it was giving them. And it was to shoot in Cairo. And I had just come from Cairo. Oh
my God.
So you were perfect for this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I'll do it. You just make me a producer and I'll do this shoot. I had a month to shoot, to prep. And it was great.
Wow. Wait, what did they have to shoot in Cairo? Like, what? Why was it there?
It was Assassin's Creed.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Like, they had an episode? No, an installment of the game set in Cairo. An episode.
Huge gamer, yes. Gary. Yes. Yes.
Huge episode of Assassin's
Creed. I do play some video games, but what are they called? I don't know.
No, actually, you're valid. You're valid.
A mini series.
Yeah.
Of Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so, no, kitty. This is podcast zone. We are in podcast zone. Meow. She's meowing loudly, but it can't be picked up by human ears.
Yeah, oh, different wow. frequency.
Okay, sorry to interrupt.
No, you didn't interrupt.
She seemed like she was going to leap directly into your lap.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. She's still on her perch. Anyways, okay, so you go to Cairo, you do an amazing job.
So I just, like, I'd been, it depends on who you talk to, but I consider myself as having lived briefly in Beirut. I was living in Beirut before that. Well, because like my partner Rachel says, no, you were there for 3 months. You weren't really, you didn't live in Beirut.
I think 3 months crosses over.
Yeah,
I'm on your side.
Even though I didn't pay rent.
That's fine.
Okay.
You were
sleeping in a friend's guest room.
For 3 months?
Yeah. You lived.
I did have a job for one day.
You
made income?
I made $100 teaching improv.
You're about to get your visa revoked for it.
But so I was like, yeah. So they were like, okay, fine, you'll do it. And that's how I became a producer there. And then they brought me on full time.
They were like, if you can handle Cairo,
yeah,
I think you can do a show where you make gross food and you put it in front of people.
It's not all gross.
Sorry.
Some of it is nice.
Some gross, some good.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the job.
To the job.
I think it's time to go to the job.
Yeah, the job.
We're getting down to business.
Do I have to put some work in today?
Are you making me work? Suit and tie. Get your rubber gloves.
Yeah, sorry. You thought this was
suit and tie and rubber gloves. What am I doing?
you're like in American Psycho.
Okay. The reboot. Okay, so I'm murdering you all.
Yeah.
Great.
But thank you, by the way.
Yes.
Because we've been looking for someone. So... Garrett, listen, a parasocial relationship is a one-sided relationship.
It's a relationship in which we develop illusions of intimacy, friendship, or some kind of identification with a media persona. Had you heard of this before this podcast?
Yes. And This is the second time we're recording this. Do we want to talk
full
about
disclosure,
that?
I think yeah. that's fair.
That's totally fine.
Okay,
this is a reshoot.
Yeah, this is a reshoot.
But it was like 6 months ago, so
I
we
know,
don't
I don't
recall.
Remember anything. So, but the first time I was on this, I'd heard of it before then too as well.
So, sweet. So now you're doubled up.
So now I'm doubled up on
you're
Parasol.
You're so familiar. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I have it memorized.
And had you thought about it in the context of your own, you know, your own media persona?
No.
Ooh.
Because I don't know. I think growing up, like I'm of an age. I'm an old man.
A man of a certain
age. Of an age.
I'm of an age. That's such an old person thing to say.
A man of a certain age.
Yes.
Certain could mean any number.
I'm that you know, like the internet came out when I was in high school, and very few people had it. We did. And my friends and I did. And so it was, and one of my friends started this website called LiveJournal.
They started LiveJournal. What? Wait, sorry. delete the rest of the script.
Actually, we only have to talk about this.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Are
this
you
didn't
serious?
Come up the last time, did it? Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So, yeah, no.
So. Your friend, like, codes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
This was in Portland. His dad worked for, like, Tektronix or Intel or something.
Yeah.
And he first started... do you need a second?
No, keep going. I keep going. Don't let me derail.
We owe so much to your friend.
I know.
And by proxy,
Brad.
You, I feel. Yeah. Brad.
Brad. So he started an email server for us to kind of like email each other like throughout the week. You just email this email address and it went to everybody.
Yeah.
It was like early days of like, that wasn't, you know, there were no like, there was nothing like that.
No Yahoo groups.
Yeah. And so we would like email throughout the night as we were doing like homework and stuff at home. And then when we went to college, he... turned that into LiveJournal so we could all keep up with each other.
I can't believe this is happening.
It just started as a thing for friends.
Yes, it started off as like a thing for us to all kind of keep in touch with each other.
Brad,
wow. That's his
name? Brad, yeah, Brad okay. Fitzpatrick.
Did Brad own it when they sold it?
I think so, yeah.
To the Russian company
yes.
that now
he,
owns it?
He was big in Russia for a little bit, yes.
I need to get him on the pod.
I have no idea where he is now. I haven't heard from him in so long.
You are literally the original LiveJournal user.
I'm up in there, but I'm not number one, but I'm up in there, yeah.
You're the beta, the prototype.
Yeah. You tested all the features.
This is mind fucking blowing for me. LiveJournal is so important.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, yeah. So what I'm saying is like I met so many people through LiveJournal and I met so many, like I developed so many relationships through it as it expanded to more than just us.
Yeah.
That I, you know, like back then we didn't think in terms of like parasocial or like,
no.
Do I actually know this person or like
right.
You know, you were just reading what other people were writing. And then they would be like, yeah, let's be friends. And so it was two-way.
Yeah.
You know, it would become two-way. And so it took until basically, I think, like that was kind of my mindset on it until some Smosh fans tried to cancel me for a tweet. And then I tried to like talk to them about it.
Yeah, you're like, we can have a conversation.
Yeah, and then I realized, oh no, that's not what this is anymore. 20 something years later, I should
totally.
Know.
Wait, so what
you?
Happened? Are you canceled?
Yeah, what?
How did it? I know.
Shake
maybe
out?
This. Maybe to, none. This will never come
do
out.
We have to deplatform
yeah, maybe
you right now?
Is this why you got rid of the first?
Yeah, we were like, oh.
The first episode? Because you,
we dug deep found, and we
yeah,
saw.
Yeah, you dug deep and yeah. Do you, I mean, do you want me to just say?
Sure, yeah. So, please.
So the tweet was, a couple of years ago, in the spring. Mm-hmm.
In the spring. In the spring. Beautiful spring. I literally am like, uh-huh, yes.
Yes, it was in the spring. Beautiful out.
What we say in the spring does not count.
Yes, exactly.
That's so, not real.
So it was that time of year. It was like early spring. It was the time of year like 30 Under 30 had just come out. The top 1,000 comedians list had just come out. And the Epstein list
exactly.
Had just come out.
Oh.
And my tweet was, ugh, I'm never on any of these lists.
Stupid.
Yes.
That's cancelable? I think that's so funny.
I knew you'd think. Hey, don't lean too far.
I know.
Don't lean out of frame. Yeah.
I'm leaning out of frame, but I
no, you're. You could, I no, love that's that. Fair. You're trying to get out of frame, so you can't use the clip of you saying.
Yeah, I'm like, ha. Don't clip this.
I love
Wait,
that.
How many people? Like, how much of the fandom? Like 1%.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know.
10 people.
I can't tell. I mean, it was like a few people were really against this tweet, and then they spread it to other people. You know, by making you know, saying what type of tweet it was, what kind of joke it was. That I disagree that it was that kind of joke.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, can I just say?
Yes.
Yes, arbiters of comedy, go ahead.
Yes. No. I think with the Epstein lists,
yes.
People act like it's a list of pedophiles.
Yes.
It is a list of people who visited a place.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a joke about hurting children.
It's a joke. Exactly. I don't see it that way.
Right. And Jules?
Do you see
it? You guys keep talking. Keep talking. You guys keep talking.
I see it. You know, this was a character kind of joke of like somebody who's just sees these lists of, you know, like important, powerful people. Well, that's relative
sure.
for the comedians, but these lists that this person that I would want to be on because it looks like a list of like people that you would want to be listed right. with.
Totally,
yeah, yeah.
So what happened when you tried to reach out to them interpersonally?
Well, so then I was like, I would respond to tweets that would be like, and I think now. I think now I see like, oh, like this is like, I don't know, Gen Z speak or like, you know, whatever that is. I don't know. But, or like, you know, just hyperbole, like, you know, people would post like, you know, like, there was like some meme of like, take all of this, like of a character who is like famously like ruined, kind of like mm-hmm. take all of this character's pain.
And give it to Garrett Paul.
And I replied to that, and I was like, "What? You really want this?"
That is so funny because you were internet literate, but you saw that meme and you were like, "Wait a second!
I'm Garrett Palm.
you want me to? I don't know who like Katniss. I don't like
you
who
is it? Katniss Everdeen's pain.
Yeah,
have to go in the Hunger Games again
because of my tweet."
Oh my gosh.
And so they were just like, "You're a creepy old man, get out of here."
Yeah, they're like, "Why are you replying to me?"
Yeah.
And you're like, "I thought we were having a conversation."
That's so funny.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it still
That's
pops
awesome.
Up like where they're like now and then somebody will be like, oh wait, why do people hate Garrett?
And everyone's like,
is like he made like, a joke about pedophiles.
And you're like, no, you're back in those comments.
No, yeah, I jump right back in.
No.
Because I haven't learned my lesson.
Oh my gosh.
I wrote this piece that was about a guy who stows away on planes who accidentally went to Epstein Island and was added to the list. And it's him being like, no. And I submitted it to a few places and they were like, Charlie, love this one. Of course not. fucking of course not. We will not publish this. And I was like, please.
But I had a good joke to add to the conversation.
Please. It was several years after this was relevant. Please.
Wow.
That poor guy.
I know.
I know. His story will never be told.
He just likes getting in the wheel well of planes. It's not his fault.
He just likes to feel like in a tight space.
Yeah.
That's just what I like.
It's just his thing.
So, incredible lead in to my next question.
Where was
I? How do you feel about people having a parasocial relationship with you? Because they clearly do.
I mean, I don't think they do anymore, maybe. I don't think they necessarily do anymore because I'm not as online and I'm not out there as much as I used to be, you know. I think there still are some, I guess there still are some people here and there.
You definitely
that, like, DM
have
me
and, fans.
Yeah. I don't know why. But there are some out there. Yes. No, I don't know what to think about it. Like, getting recognized in public, that kind of thing, is always weird. And I think I've gotten better. I used to have panic attacks from getting recognized. Like if I wasn't in the right headspace. And then, like, there were times where it was like somebody saw me and had a big reaction.
Terrifying.
Well, I think it was like a social, like, then everybody else was looking at me, mm-hmm. and like, who is this guy?
Right.
who is this guy?
Oh, wow. That can really do a number on your self-identity. Yeah. Like, who is this guy?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, whoa.
but now I think it's much easier. Like, I don't know. I think I've faded away enough that when people do recognize me, they're very chill about it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Perfect. And like, it's cool. Like, I just, you know, like last week, somebody was just like, hey, I really enjoyed Eat It or Eat It. Can I take a photo? Like, aww. Yeah, great. Yeah. What's your name? Yeah, great. Yeah. Cool. Great to meet you. All right. Bye.
That's totally. So
sweet. Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's nice.
That's enjoyable.
Yeah.
I think there is something too about that brand, like this kind of the Smosh brand of fans, where they do have like intense waves of like, these are the people who we are attached to right now and that we are talking about and thinking about all the time right now. And then when it goes back down, I do think as a fan, you kind of are like, oh, and that's a real person now.
Whereas before
it's like, this is my person.
Yes.
So it seems like you might be in a normal person era. Yeah,
back to normal. Back to being a normal person. Yeah.
Approachable for a photo.
So the first time that I realized that you were a parasocial icon is because I followed you. We followed each other on Twitter. And then the Twitter algorithm started, rest in peace, Twitter, started to...
It's fine. It doesn't... the rest in hell.
Yeah.
People
forget it was bad even before.
Yeah, I know.
That's how bad things have gotten.
Yeah, I know.
So I was just getting tweets from the algorithm that were people who were talking about you. And I was like, huh?
Would anybody talk about him?
I did not have a parasocial relationship with you. I didn't know there was something going on. So anyway, so I did a little shallow dive into how much are they talking about Garrett? Oh my gosh, blah blah blah. And then I was like, oh, Smosh fandom, and I started to get a little bit more acquainted. And then when I was researching for this podcast, did you know that there are fan cams of you on TikTok?
Oh, on TikTok?
Uh-huh.
No, I didn't know about that.
And
are they still being made, though? Like, how old are they?
That'd be awesome.
I don't know. I'd have to check.
Like, a week ago, they're, like, setting your face to music. That'd be so good.
That's so cool.
Is it?
Yeah.
To have a fan cam? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
I think there was I remember one on YouTube a while ago that I was like, maybe I'll use this as my reel.
You were like, Excellent editing.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I look really great in this.
Yeah. I'm like,
that is the perfect amount of notoriety is when late teens, early 20s girls and women are editing video of you.
Yes.
Yeah. That's like the sweet spot where you're like, I am beloved by people who are artistic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's seriously...
It's perfect.
Who can make things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make my reel for me.
Yeah.
And, like, also, fan cams give so much serotonin. Like, if you are a fan of Garrett and you see a Garrett fan cam, you're like, yes, 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 yes. And then it's over. And you're like, oh, I love the serotonin I just got.
Yeah.
Thank God my brain feels good again.
I mean, I get that now. Like, I was thinking about this, and this will probably... be a later answer, but I was thinking about this in terms of I'm a big fan of basketball. It's the one sport I really follow, and people will do like reels or clips of like basketball players doing cool stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
And watching that is cool. It's fun. Like
you're
it's like
yeah.
you get hyped and yeah, like oh this guy just. Jumped over that person and slammed the ball into the basket. Awesome.
And that's my guy.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
I love that.
Wait, so yeah, what parasocial relationships do you
have
right now?
Basketball players and basketball people that talk about basketball. I realized this the other day where I think the first basketball parasocial relationship I had was when I left Portland first as a kid, as early 20s, that's how old I am. Early 20s
of
as
age.
A kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm of an age where 20s is childhood.
Child. That's so funny. I have a friend who was born in 76 and insists he's a 90s kid. And I'm like, that is just delusional.
But it's like people my age, we identify because the 90s is where we...
Blossoms. You were actually alive. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we identify with the 90s. 80s, I don't know. I was like digging in the backyard and like playing with He-Man character, you know, action figures. Like I don't know
what was happening worldwide.
Yeah.
We didn't have the internet. How would we have a cultural identity?
Maybe that's why actually.
Yeah. But yeah, so there was when I moved to New York City, that's where like I'd always kind of been into Portland only has one back then only had one pro sports team. And I was like, so on sports. I would like watch the basketball team from time to time and be like excited when they were doing well. But, you know, for the most part, whatever. But then when I moved to New York, it was like, oh, Portland, you know, like I miss Portland. I miss my home. And this team kind of like is representing my home. And then there was a player who was like a solid player. His name was Channing Fry, and he would tweet about restaurants in Portland.
Oh my
that
God.
You would go to. He
That's
really
your
was,
man.
Yeah, right?
That's so cute.
Parasocial relationship identified.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, oh my God, finally a basketball player who's like enjoying Portland's food scene.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally. Someone I can relate to
yes.
in this goddamn city.
And I tweeted at him, like, why don't more basketball players go to the great Portland restaurants? And he replied. And he was like, because, you know, most of these players grew up with, like, you know, Cheesecake Factory as, like, you know, you get the most food for the money kind of thing. And, you know, so it's just not what they're interested in. And I was like, oh, you're right, Channing.
Wow. Channing,
oh my
great
God.
Point, great point.
Great point. But yeah, so he was like, I think now, looking back on it, like my first like parasocial relationship probably.
Aww.
Yeah. And
Channing.
Now like I find myself like looking at the Portland Trailblazers players and then people who talk about the Portland Trailblazers, because I'll garden and like listen to basketball podcasts. And like one just had on another one that I listened to on his podcast. And I didn't know they
love
knew each other.
A crossover.
That
That's
was like,
huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. That will connect like, brain neurons that you didn't
yes.
know were going to connect ever.
I love it.
And I was so excited. I was like, I can't wait for it. Because one was national and one was just Portland. but the national one had just moved to Portland.
Oh my God. And so they're going to be going to restaurants together.
I know. I can't wait to hear what they eat.
Oh my God.
Okay.
But yes, I do have parasocial relationships.
Good.
So when you are being you, you know, living your life, you're doing work, you're producing things, you're making art, or you're just making a Instagram post, whatever. Do you ever think about how people are going to like parasocially relate to the content you're putting out there?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Mostly in terms of like, I won't put my nephews or niece on my Instagram.
Kids.
Yeah, I won't do that. I'm very wary of you know, other people other of my friends or family members who would prefer to be out of the limelight. Limelight.
The limelight is awesome.
Yeah, I know that. But it would prefer to not be like perceived.
Yeah.
You know, so I won't put them in there. I do play into sometimes some narratives that, like my relationship with my partner, Rachel.
I was literally going to say, like, the narrative that you love your partner very much.
No, it's the opposite. It's the narrative that we have, like, a contentious relationship.
Yes, yes.
And, like... We like to play that up sometimes. Well, Rachel really likes to play it up sometimes. And I'll play it up too. But like,
if I can say my interpretation, you play it up by being like, I love my partner.
Yeah.
And yes. Rachel plays it up
being like,
Yeah.
And that's comedy.
That's comedy. No, but or like, you know, we'll have a series of like reverse gender dip, you know, where like she's dipping me. Oh, very
transgressive.
But yeah, so more like like she wears the pants in the relationship kind of thing. Which her dad firmly believes and loves that she's
like,
the more masculine.
That's true. Yeah. I love that, yeah, you guys are having a reverse, like, I hate my wife situation, where she's like, ugh, get a load of this guy.
Yeah. Like, oh, I love you, sweetheart. Yeah. Like, oh, the old ball and chain, my hubby.
So over him. That's great.
Are there other narratives you play into?
I mean, yeah, a little bit, I guess, like, I don't know. At what point is it a narrative? At what point is it just me? But like,
speak about it.
Yes. Yeah. Because like, I do think like, you know, authenticity isn't real, and I think like, you know, like we are constantly changing. There's no set persona for everybody. Like we are all like growing and changing. Hopefully growing, but always changing. And so like when I play into like a to use a UCB term, like a character game of mine, like Love and Coffee, a friend of mine, like I posted about drinking coffee in San Francisco last weekend. Like it was the best cup of coffee that I've had in a long time. It was so good.
Congrats.
Thank you. Thermal shock was the style that of fermentation. But
that's why they confuse the beans. Yeah.
The beans are just frozen.
Like,
and
what temperature is this?
You can taste the confusion. But and then my friend was like, you have such a strong game of guy who loves coffee.
Let me tag you. Yeah, I got a like, great joke for this. Yeah.
Yes, my game.
My game.
Which I play.
Yeah, my personal game that I'm always playing. But it's like, I'm like, for a stretch, I was known also as the guy who loved beer.
Oh.
And I'm not drinking that much these days. I'm not really drinking much beer. And part of me, like, when I encounter somebody's like, oh, Garrett loves beer. What do you? And I'm like, well, not so much anymore. Like, I'd still drink it, but
you're like, yeah, it's not like, my thing.
Yeah. And it's like, it's also like, I don't know, this, I think this is a universal feeling, a thing of like, or like, not universal, but like parents buying you a Christmas present from something you loved 5-10 years ago.
You said you liked giraffes one time.
Yes.
And then for the rest of your life, everything is giraffe.
And you had a brief giraffe phase. And now all your Christmas presents are giraffe themed.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we all change and grow, and parents just don't understand that.
Yeah.
Don't you understand? I have new character games now.
But yeah, so what was my, oh, but like also being the travel person, like a travel guy,
yeah,
like who loves
a new
travel,
game of yours,
a new game of new. Mine, you know, like that I'm trying to, but it, so I'm also trying to like put myself forward as like somebody in the travel space who would potentially get jobs in the travel space.
Right. Right.
And like, I look at this in term, I look at trying to get, I'm looking for work. Like I'm writing, I'm doing some stuff, but I want like a real job right now. Mm. And I'm looking for like work, and they're always like, you have to define yourself. You have to put yourself forward as, this is me. And I'm never that. So I'm like, you know, so my resume is like, yeah, I have experience in travel. I have experience in tabletop stuff. I have experience in video games. I have experience in food. And people look at it and like, we just want like,
that's not one thing.
Yeah, that's not one thing.
They're like, we just, Garrett, you have too many experiences. Yeah.
Too many things.
Did
I love.
You try only doing one thing?
I know. And like,
that's brutal.
Yeah. And so I look at like, you know, like real influencers, and they all have one thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and I think among many reasons, that's why I'm not a real influencer. Like,
yeah, you clearly yearn for the influencing lifestyle, but you just can't seem to focus on one
thing. You want brand deals so bad.
Well, when I found out a friend of mine was getting free coffee from Blue Bottle,
you were like, excuse
me? Tapping.
Yeah, I was like, how do I do that?
Hey, guys, unpackaging my package from Blue Bottle.
Well, she doesn't even do that. She doesn't unpackage it. She doesn't. She's just like.
She posts a photo?
She posts weird comedy sketches and is now like, you know, in TV shows. And so they just send her free, I think it's Blue Bottle or Verve or something. I'm like, Verve, I would drink your coffee on Verve. On my Instagram.
We made a hilarious joke earlier about coffee. Yeah. We could just edit in the word Verve.
Verve.
Instead.
I would like, Verve, I think you're a really good... For the big coffee brands, I think you're really good.
For Garrett, you're already putting them down.
Of the big coffee brands.
Well,
pretty good.
You're pretty good.
You're not.
I enjoy drinking you. When I have to drink one of the bigger coffee brands, I enjoy your stuff. Won't you send me free coffee?
One of my many favorites.
One of my many favorites.
One of my top five big coffee brands. Yeah.
Well, look, I know Roseline, a micro roaster in Portland, is not going to be sending me free stuff.
You never know.
I know.
I don't know. Roseline.
Roseline.
My favorite mid-sized coffee company. Nothing better in the mid-sized space.
Yeah.
I love Roseline. There was this company called The Coldest Water that made water bottles, and for a while they would pay people on TikTok to make regular sketches and just have their bottle in the background with the label facing forward, and it was incredibly obvious that it was, this was before you had to announce that you were doing an ad. Oh my god,
I love
the number of videos that are just like The Coldest Water. They don't have to drink from it.
That's
they don't
awesome.
Have to reference it.
I mean, that's the ideal brand partner you
totally.
Want.
Totally.
Yeah.
It was perfect, but it got to a fever pitch where it was like every video I'd be like, Coldest Water, Coldest Water, Coldest Water. It was rough.
And I didn't even know that brand existed, so.
I know.
It didn't work.
It didn't work.
Yeah. Haven't seen them since.
I hate to say, because I'd love to get that money.
Imagine if these We're coldest water.
Right, bottles. Exactly.
Wow, coldest water.
Cheers to Verve.
Cheers to Verve. And Rose Line.
The best of the bigger coffee roasters.
So one thing that we chatted about briefly before is that you have, like, you know, these relationships with all these other creators who, like, are very parasocially sort of overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed. Yeah.
So, like, no need to, like, name names or anything, but just sort of what's your experience being friends with them and how do they deal with that stuff?
I always felt like looking at it, it always felt like a curse. Because, they have, like, I don't know, like, movie star recognition nowadays in some, in enough circles that they can't really go out of the house and just, like, do their own thing. But they don't get that money.
Mm.
They aren't paid movie star level of money.
That's so fucked
up. To where they, you know, because, like, movie stars have a compound where they can be safe and secure and do their own thing.
Yep. They, and assistance. Go out and do their groceries.
Yeah. They don't have the money to afford that, but they have the recognition, not necessarily of, like, the A-list movie stars, sure, but, like, you know, like, they're living in little apartments in Burbank,
mm-hmm.
like all of, like the rest of us, but they can't leave that little apartment without, like, getting harassed.
Chaos.
I mean, sometimes.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't, and, like, they, everything that, you know, it's more than what, you know, like, what I have to think about, like, oh, and I'm not going to put my, you know, like, the kids on my Instagram. You know, they have to think about everything they post.
Very much so.
Know? And, like, everything that they do. And it's, you know, like, celebrities in general, if they have a bad day, everybody knows. And everybody's like, oh, this person was, you know, like, rude to me when he bought coffee from me.
Yeah, you know, and, like, it becomes a story forever.
Yeah. And, you know, like, they have a whole PR team to, you know, squash that. And be like, yeah, no, they were just, you know, having a bad day. But, you know, like a YouTuber, for the most of them, unless you're like Mr. Beast, who I don't think really cares about anything.
I don't think he exists.
Yeah, I don't think
I'll
he exists.
I'll say that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait a sec.
I think he's a hologram.
You think?
A little bit.
You think Mr. Beast is a hologram?
A little bit.
To what end?
The best follow-up.
Yeah.
To what end is Mr. Beast a hologram?
What's the purpose of making a hologram?
I don't think he started as a hologram.
Oh, and now he is a hologram?
I just can't imagine him flesh and blood out in the world. Yeah. That's kind of the main thing.
I bet he's so tall. I bet he's like 7 feet tall.
Whoa. And so the hologram, they made him smaller to make him more...
personable.
They're like, look, Mr. Beast, if you're gonna go out into the world, you can't go out the way you are at 7 feet.
We've been working on this hologram,
hologram version of you,
Mr. Beast.
You remember Tupac?
We made
people
Tupac
love
bigger.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
No people bad reviews.
That. Yeah.
Mr. Beast is 6'5".
6'5"?
No,
yeah.
Those are always lies, though.
That's, I buy that. Have you seen a video of him near other people?
Yeah, actually, he does look tall.
I've never watched a Mr. Beast
amazing
video.
Choice. Oh, then stay that way.
You're not my logged pure. Out YouTube app on my Roku TV.
It is the first thing they'll show you.
It's the first thing.
You got a new account, they're like, you would love this
guy. You would
guy.
Love
Mr. Beast. Don't know if you've heard of him.
Are you 7? Because you will love Mr. Beast. And likely you are.
Yeah. If you are, this is your first time on YouTube.
You're logged out.
The first time your parents... are like
they
away
gave me the iPad.
Yeah, giving you the iPad and thinking that you don't know how to get to YouTube. That's my answer for the people.
That's great.
Yeah,
follow-up question.
Yes.
It reminds me of something I've been thinking about lately, which is that a big part of parasocial relationships historically has been like trying to like seek out not necessarily secrets, but just like get as much information as you can about someone. And that's very like satisfying for certain elements of fandom. Anyways, what you said just reminded me of that, because I'm like, that's another part of not being able to, it's not necessarily just not being able to step outside. It's like, I have to be so conscious of my public image at all times, because there are people who, like, not necessarily maliciously, are going to care that I went to the Studio City Ralphs.
Yeah. And like, I, you know, this first made me think of a certain couple that just revealed to the world that they were married, and the whole, all of Smosh fandom, it was like a big, you know, like nobody even knew. Well,
oh my God, that's
everybody
huge.
Thought they were dating. Well, people thought they were, but people would be like, stop shipping. That's gross. But other people would be like heavily shipping them and like looking for every little look that they made on camera. Kind
Meanwhile,
of thing.
And fully married.
Fully, yeah. And like,
wow.
I mean, that's, so, you know, like eventually. But
right. Yeah, not the moment it all began. Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't married from day one.
Like they both get hired on the same day as a married couple.
And they keep it a secret. Yeah. Which would be incredible. They really had like any dating life of anybody on those on those shows is just like so picked apart. Mm-hmm. And people are always like, I want these two people in there to be dating. It's like, no,
that's the weirdest part.
I don't want that. That's my coworker.
Right. And they're like, please date your coworker. And you're like, no. I have boundaries.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, that's a bad idea.
Wow.
But it's so much more fun to watch if you think they're flirting.
Yeah.
That's like,
no. I mean, that's why like rom-coms and like, that's what they're there for. Like read a romance novel with fictional characters.
With fake people.
Yeah, fake people doing it.
This is great.
Because we have been in an absolute desert of rom-coms.
But
for
we
a few
are
years.
In the heyday of fantasy.
Yes.
Well, and fantasy romance.
Oh, yes, very much so.
We are very much in the fantasy romance heyday.
Big time.
And people treat them like real people. So Rachel was, she's on the
A
Facebook.
Court of Fae and Flowers? Sorry.
Yeah, Thorns and Roses.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
I'm thinking of TTRPG.
Jewel?
Carry on.
She's on a Facebook group for him because she loves reading and reading all about this. Are you familiar with The Court of Thorns and Roses?
I haven't read them, but I know.
Okay. I read
I know
the first two.
Culturally.
Are they good?
They're fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have some fun elements to it. And I, you know, I was glad I read the second one, because the first one I was like, eh. And the second one like turned it around for me. But so there's like this awful guy who's like very like, it starts off, I don't know if I want to spoil, but so like basically like he's holding her back, repressing her, and then like somebody on Facebook today was like, yo, she should have been doing what he said. Like why you know, like we need to give this guy like, you know, like
a little more credit.
A little more credit. Like, oh, I would love. And then people were responding like, there was like, my favorite was like, if he really puts in the work and goes to therapy, I'd love to see a redemption arc for him.
Even though
for this
fictional fantasy man. Wow. If he just puts in that work, he does EMDR.
Yeah.
He goes on Prozac. I think there's a real chance that this guy could be a contender.
Yeah, he could be a good person.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, we want to ship even characters. That's what fan fiction is.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
oh, yeah. Incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We want these, but like keep it to fictional people.
Yeah. Give it a rest.
You could do whatever you want with fictional people.
Yeah. Don't you think it's crazy? I feel like I have like stoner thoughts, but I'm incredibly sober. But sometimes I zoom out and I go like, we are primates who, in order to tell our little stories, made fictional primates that have never existed and don't exist. And we go like, and then they kiss.
Yeah.
And it's like, then that's crazy.
But then someone else comes in the picture who they also want to kiss, but only one of them love triangle monkeys.
There's no other animal. Cats aren't like, I thought of this cat that I just came up with, and his name is this. And
I bet dolphins do that.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm picturing the hottest dolphin. I'm naming him Michael. He's dating.
Michael Dolphin
is dating Rebecca Dolphin.
They're enemies
trouble.
At first.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And now they're lovers.
Yeah.
And now they're enemies again.
Ooh.
Wow.
I like firmly believe in dolphin humanness.
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
Get those brains. Yep. They're basically our brains.
Yeah.
Same with pigs. Oh, yeah. Really worry about pigs.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Pigs are pretty smart. Pigs are very smart.
Very disturbing.
I think if they had thumbs, they could like fuck us up big time.
Like an Animal Farm?
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
There's kind of, I think they're the cops in Animal Farm.
Probably.
The Animal Farm is the truth about
right.
what animals are like.
If those pigs just went to therapy, we would never have fascism.
Yeah.
Duh.
We solved it.
Okay. Wait, there's one question I wanted to ask you before we go to rapid invasive questions.
Everyone's favorite segment.
I wanted to ask. Oh, yeah. So you talked a little bit about like you don't post your nephews online, so that kind of stuff. But in other ways, does being a media persona, which you are, stop arguing with us.
You've been demoted from parasocial icon to media persona.
Okay, that's fair. I'll take that. Yeah, I'll take media persona.
Put that on your website and then put your fan cam underneath it. So, does that affect your like interpersonal relationships or like, you know, your relationship with your partner? Like, do you think about that when you're making friends with someone?
So it affects my relationship with Rachel sometimes because she thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like family and friends, it's always they always find out later. And it's always I there's a part of me that kind of enjoys when they find out.
Yeah.
Because it's always a surprise to them. So like especially like I went with like went to the Ren Faire.
Love
the Ren Faire.
That is your primary audience.
It is. And went with a group of friends and they had never seen or heard about this, that people would come up to me, you know, in public, that people would recognize me. And yeah, the Ren Faire, I get stopped a lot. Like every, you know, I don't know, like I spend the day there, I get stopped like 8 to 10 times.
I'm sorry, I need to go with you next year. Yeah. I would love to experience this.
Well, every year I'm like, surely it's gone by now.
And no.
But people remember the show. And yeah, they're just always like, what the hell is going on?
I can't imagine going to the Ren Faire with someone and not knowing that would happen and then having them stopped like many times.
That's like a sitcom episode.
Yeah, yeah. Rachel was so excited to be like, just wait.
Yeah,
just wait.
This is the first one. Just you wait. Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome. I would totally like, it's kind of a power trip because it's like, yeah, I didn't tell you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, me? This.
This thing.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm secretly
famous. Oh yeah, no, people know me. yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it ties into like a side of me that wants to be mysterious and like always have surprises for people, even though I'm probably pretty plain. You know, like I'm a white boy from the suburbs and like.
An open book, and yet you're like, yeah. I have a secret,
and so it's always one that people are like so stunned by. probably like you, the first time you found
I wasn't that
on Twitter,
stunned.
You were like shocked. You had been thermal shocked.
I was more thermal shocked because I knew how big of a deal Smosh is.
Yeah, yeah,
and I was whoa. Wait a second.
It's all happening.
Yeah.
The dots. All right.
Now
shall we dive
time
in?
Okay.
For we're done at work. Take off your suit and tie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Put the gloves. Put the gloves in the trash. The incinerator.
Wipe your brow because okay. It's time for rapid invasive questions. You will need a telephone for this, preferably the one that you have.
Okay, not just anybody's.
Okay, app of your choosing.
Okay.
I would say Instagram or TikTok.
It's Instagram.
Perfect. How many unread DMs do you have?
Two in the regular.
Yeah.
Nice.
And that one in the restricted hidden.
Great.
And what is that one?
What is the one in
yeah,
the...
Yeah, like what's the content
is it a
of
fan?
The one
is
that's
it spam?
Restricted? Oh.
Uh-oh.
I don't, it's a link to a SoundCloud.
Perfect.
Oh, my God.
Perfect.
From somebody who thought my anti-Trump posts were dramatic and was telling me to go cry.
Go cry. Here's my
SoundCloud.
Here's my SoundCloud.
Interesting awesome. Marketing campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
Very obsessed. Cool.
I've got a couple in hidden.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're all just porn bots.
Yeah. Porn bots in a big group.
Yes.
With like you and like 30 other people.
I'm learning so much from my male friends' other inbox.
Yeah. That was one of the biggest surprises.
Don't get those.
In transitioning.
Yeah.
It's just how much
porn is.
You guys are targeted by porn bots.
Yep.
It's constant.
They all they do is just like switch on like.
Yeah. They go all males.
Boom. Like we have a pretty good chance of getting
somebody.
There's plenty of dumb males. Like who will click this?
It's so good.
Horned up. Like
how many unread text messages do you have right now?
Right now. Let's see. I'm oh wow, 19.
Wow.
So popular.
What happened in the time?
I mean, all from this morning.
Great.
A friend of mine has free coffee that she's dropping by.
Yes.
The ultimate frisbee thread is talking about whether or not we're playing tomorrow.
Pop off.
Hell yeah.
Group chat. I don't know what Rachel laughed at something. I don't know what this is my friend who called me my coffee game. My personal game is strong. Okay, I'm meeting up. After this, I'm meeting up with the beer boys. So I do drink a little bit of beer still.
Wow.
I have three different. I have beer boys, coffee boys, and philosophy boys.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
And did male the friendships are important. Boys ever drink coffee?
Philosophy boys, we kind of go back and forth. Right now, we're basketball boys, but we started off.
I love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You guys can philosophize about anything.
We can.
Basketball.
And then a couple birthday party stuff. Partiful is blowing up my.
They love to text.
Yes.
Partiful. They should sponsor us.
It's the death of the Facebook event.
I know.
Yeah.
That brought about Partiful.
Yeah. I like Partyful. It's a good app, but I think I'm still stuck on just making a graphic and sending it out to my friends.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'll be doing for a few more months.
I think that's still classy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
I think so. I think, Canva has made it very easy. Yeah.
Do you have your read receipts turned on?
Oh, yeah. You asked me this last time and I forgot.
to turn them off?
No, I forget.
Remember.
How do I check?
Oh, wait. I'll check because I'll
yeah, see. I guess we would know.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Dun, 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 dun. Does Garrett Palm.
Papa texted you.
Yeah, you have read receipts on.
Okay. Is that good or bad?
It's up to you.
It's neutral. I think it's positive. I've actually come back around. Our last episode, I was like, I think I'm going to turn mine off. And I've come full circle and I'm not going to.
We'll see you next week.
All right. And do you call them read receipts or read receipts like a normal person might?
Oh, well, so apparently there's you have I hear your
beef
opinion.
Here.
I mean, I wasn't I didn't feel like there was anything wrong with read receipts when I heard it.
Okay. That's why. Yeah, it's because it's correct. So,
well, but
maybe
I can see
it's
the
because
point
it's
for
the first
read,
thing you heard. Yeah,
but read
Sounds, read receipt?
Yeah.
Read receipt.
Yeah. Sounds right.
Receipt. But they don't call it a buy receipt. They call it
a purchase receipt.
A bought receipt.
they call it a purchase receipt. A receipt of purchase.
Receipt of purchase, yeah.
Yeah, it has nothing to fucking do with read receipt.
So try again, Charlie.
How often do you search for yourself online?
I mean, I just have a Google, you know, like automatic alert.
Right.
That emails you when it's like something new.
So you don't search, you just wait for the alerts?
Every now and then I will do my own search, yeah. I think, like, because this also came up in my Twitter cancellation times where somebody didn't at me, was talking trash about me, and I replied, and like, oh this guy so into himself.
Name searches.
Oh. It's like, yeah, we all name search.
Everybody let's get over it.
Wants to know. It's just like, oh, we now get to know what everybody is saying behind us, behind our backs.
It's like mind reading.
Yeah. It's like we all want to know what everybody's saying about us.
Sounds awesome.
Behind our backs. And now we can, if they are, you know, putting it online.
Have you read Reddit comments about yourself?
Yes.
And YouTube comments?
Yes.
Have you gone looking for them, or you just came upon them?
I went looking for them, yeah.
How'd it go?
If it's like a normal enough comment that is funny, I'll reply.
Oh.
If it's like, I don't know, thirsting after me or something, I just let that go.
All right.
If it's talking trash, yeah, I let that go too. So it's mostly just like, oh, this person had a fun thing to say about me. Then I'll there was a stretch where I was like, anytime an eat it or yeet it would come out, or if I was on something else on Smosh, there would all be like, Garrett looks like blank, you know, and I'd, you know, screenshot those and then put them on Instagram because those are just fun.
Yeah.
That is fun.
You know.
And then they're encouraged to do it more.
I know.
Yeah.
Garrett kind of looks like this.
Yeah.
Good encouragement of parasocial behavior.
Oh, no. Oh, no, you're right. Well, I'd blink out their names, I think.
It's still good encouragement.
Okay,
I think it's good. It's how you build fandom. I'm serious.
I just think it's funny. You know, especially if somebody has like a very insightful roast on my look. That's funny.
You're like spot on.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Do you have a blocking philosophy?
Mostly just like blocking too much negativity.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really block. I mean, I'm not on Twitter anymore, so I'm not like really like I still have my account on there. I should just get rid of that, but I'm not on there much. And that's where like there's so much negativity on Twitter in the Smosh fandom.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's very live there.
Yeah. And yeah, they are wild.
I think some people missed the day in school where we said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all.
I know, but
that's all the Twitter is.
Yeah,
I have something that is not nice to say.
It feels good, though.
It feels good. And sometimes sometimes people need to hear mean things.
Yeah. No, yeah. This is fair.
I think there's a lot of America right now that needs to hear mean things.
Oh, you have something you need to go cry about, philosophy boy?
SoundCloud.
Do you know the demographic analytics of Garrett fans?
No, great. I do not.
Oh, my goodness. Don't. You're saying that like so proudly.
Do you know what it is for Smosh?
Oh, good question.
In general?
Last I saw, it was males like 14 to 35 or something.
Okay.
Like is like the main is the number one demographic. I know, but they're not the vocal.
No, because vocal fandom is generally women.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, not obviously. I'm generalizing, but so that's really interesting.
Yeah,
that's probably a big numbers wise. That means like Smosh is huge.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's the yeah.
Wow, very interesting. Okay. I hope you took some time in the last hour to think about what you would like to recommend to our audience, because you right now stand upon a platform.
I remember what it was from last time.
What was it? What did I say last time? I feel like I remember it being disappointing. I was like,
it's not disappointing. You're I feel like, disappointed. I feel like I remember being sort of sad and dejected about my own choices. No, it was coffee related. It was like a process of making a cup of coffee.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
But I don't remember what it was called.
Was it banana coffee?
No, I hate bananas.
Peanut butter coffee.
Oh, peanut butter coffee. That was it. Yes. Yeah. Putting peanut butter in your coffee.
In your hot coffee.
In your hot or cold.
Okay.
I like to do either one, and then with milk and a little bit of maple syrup if you're like looking for like a nice coffee treat, you know, and you're tired of your pour overs or your AeroPresses.
You're sick.
You're sick. And you need a little pick me up, a little coffee pick me up with a little bit of sweet peanut butteriness in it. My other one is just going to be Portland Trail Blazers or Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
They need promotion.
For some reason, I'm really into Iron Maiden right now.
That
I'm enjoying them. I don't know.
I'm really into people doing covers of Teenage Dirtbag, the
song. Oh,
yeah. Right now, which prominently features Iron Maiden as a subject. So. Yep. I couldn't agree more with your recommendation.
Thank you. Well, I was reading about the lead singer and how he's like his method, or like, I don't know if it's his method or like a description of his method of like, the lyrics are like, what sounds cool coming out of his mouth? And then a distant third, what makes sense?
I love that. That's also the formula that Carly Rae Jepsen used with Call Me Maybe.
Really?
If you re-engineer that song, that totally works. And anything else to recommend?
Pizza.
Pizza.
From where?
Pizzeria Say.
Great.
Here in LA. Ooh. Or Lasorda's here in LA.
I'm putting both of these
two
on my
we've
map.
Never yes. tried on yes. pizza nights.
I know.
My two favorite pizza places in LA.
Wow.
Okay.
And then there are other great pizza places in LA too. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you have anything to promote or how can people follow you and your work?
Check out Agents of Travel.
You can great podcast.
Yes. Agents_of_travel on I guess Instagram, and then you can find me on Instagram gpalm79 because that's the year I was born.
79, hell yeah, hell yeah, 90s kid.
Yep, I'm a 90s kid. You can probably find my old live journal if you just look up Garrett Palm.
Believe me, I
live
will
live journal.
Yeah,
I know. Oh no,
we will.
Oh no, it's probably the cringiest. If it's still out there,
I bet it's so cringy.
It's going to be so cringy. And shout out to, I was going to, wait.
Yeah. You can use multiple if you need.
I had a great vegan burrito, Tierra Taco. Shout out to Tierra Taco.
Tierra Taco, thank you so much.
Great vegan Sonoran tacos and burritos. Yeah.
We got like a bunch of recs. Like, this is great.
That's because Garrett is a multifaceted person with many brand pillars.
Yep. Shout out to traveling to Colombia, where I'm going this Christmas.
Yes.
Shout out. Ooh, I played a new game that I really enjoyed. I played a couple the other day.
Well, once.
Pray Another Day.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Fun game. And then castles. Oh, something. You build a series of castles and villages. And
shout out to castles.
Shout out to castles.
Shout out to Colombia.
Shout out to Colombia.
Sorry about the war on drugs.
Yeah.
Shout out to Rachel.
I'm a wife guy.
I'm a huge fan.
Garrett, thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you so much for coming on. This was
great.
An hour of revelations. And I loved it.
Jewel and I are going to talk about fiction being the most ethical parasocial relationship for a long time.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Right?
No one gets hurt.
I think it is. Take it to take it to fanfiction.net.
And you really get into you actually get into the brain.
Yeah, because you invented the character.
You invented the brain. Or somebody else, but somebody is writing their thoughts out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Harry Potter.
Perfect note to end the episode on. Bye. Wait, listen to Garrett's Corner after this too.
Yeah, stick around.
Stay tuned for Garrett's Corner. Bye. Not you, the other one.
Oh, I was excited to go on my. You get to go on any
corner.
Go
in your corner.
Go in my corner.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Parasocial Social Club. Enjoy this episode? Leave us a nice review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It's a nice and kind thing to do. This podcast is produced by your hosts and Garrett Labonte. Theme music done by Brady Hicks. And for Garrett's Corner Pick of the Week, not eating turkey on Thanksgiving. Besides the fact that I don't eat turkey, we all know the sides are the best part anyway. You can give me all the weird looks you want from across the table while I'm eating cranberry sauce a la carte. I'll be too busy enraptured by sugary bliss to notice.